Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It is game week for a bunch of the area high schools in high school football. Week zero coming up at the end of the week. A couple of smattering, I guess, of games on Thursday, but a ton of games on Friday. It feels like week zero became a thing in Western or in Oklahoma high school football just a couple years ago, where it really started taking off, and now the amount of games, I think, just grows and grows through the years in week zero. I think a lot of teams with the COVID and now seeing that kind of week off between district and non-district, I think people are starting to take advantage of that to have that extra week before district play starts. So we'll talk about that. Some reports from some of the scrimmages that were around the area that I've gotten. Get into some of that. Tell you the kind of a rundown of the schedule, I guess, coming up on Friday night. We got Jim Traber, of course. It's Monday, so it's the Barber Dyson Ford Jim Traber segment. Pick his mind about a bunch of different things off the field, but then also on the field. I think we're getting close enough with college football, NFL football. Actually, so getting to start talk about games or projections and that kind of thing. So we'll do that with him at 9:30. And then right off the top, see how Jared's weekend was. I've got a fascinating story about my weekend.
Okay, I'd love to hear that.
With the dreaded army worms.
You did tell me that.
So I will I'll talk about that. Listen, I know how to eradicate them.
Like?
Without spraying.
Okay.
I know.
I want to hear this.
I can't tell you how to make it happen, but I can tell you how it happens.
There might be some people out there who spray lawns going, no, don't tell them that.
Maybe so. One of them that only had to advertise, you know, there's some people around here that don't think anybody listens to either our show or this station.
Right.
The only advertiser I can remember that went a month on this station and about halfway through called and said, how much longer I got?
Getting overrun?
Yes. It's the only one I can remember calling.
Had one of those good problems.
Yeah, ever calling us and saying, you know what, this is working too good.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I visited with him about this problem. And I don't want to jinx it, but as far as having Bermuda grass in your lawn.
Yes. That's me.
I think maybe, just maybe, the issue is a little overblown.
With the army worms and Bermuda?
And destroying your yard.
Right.
I think it's a little overblown. Now, as soon as I say that, I'll go home and I won't have any grass.
Yeah.
But I will tell you what I saw with my own eyes yesterday afternoon that helped destroy the army worm population in my yard.
Great.
225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. You can live stream us that way. Or you can download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon. Three radio stations here in Elk City. You've got the Penny News. Check out the deals online, thepennynews.com, or go pick up a free copy of the Penny News at your local newsstands. Anywhere from I-35 west out to Amarillo, Texas. Penny News is awesome. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. We're here. Big Elk TV, Friday night. Can't make it out to Big Elk Stadium. Pampa in town against the Elks. Friday night, 7 o'clock kick. We'll get 6:30-ish pregame. I say ish because I'm not 100% sure what all we got. How long it's going to be. But
we're pretty good at filling time. I mean, we can do it.
I wasn't worried about getting 30 minutes in. Oh. I was going the other way. If it needed to be longer, you never know.
Oh, well, that's
John's asking questions for the first week. I'm guessing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hope Dave has about 30 minutes of time.
Yeah. We might need to be in the background going, okay. Wrap it up.
Yeah, you're fine, Coach. You've wrap answered it up. All the questions you need to.
Yeah, a lot of anticipation this year.
I think so.
For this season.
Really good reports. Really good reports on Friday, too, that we'll get to here in the second segment.
It should be a fun night. Now, we encourage everybody to go.
Absolutely.
To the game.
But if you can't.
Take your radio.
Yeah, so, did no, we ever, you know.
What's that?
I was talking about this Friday night. Did we ever establish that, I know we talked about it, like that low frequency signal? Because we've got people that want to listen, but.
You know what we can
through
do.
The magic of radio, it's yeah. delayed a little bit.
Right.
And so if you're in the stands.
If you want to hear it immediate,
yeah.
there is a way to do this.
I know we talked about it, but I don't know
we
if we
might
ever
have
did.
To have like a VIP club.
Oh, there you go.
You know what
well,
I mean?
I can think of one person
who would want to hear
who
it.
Who would want to hear yeah. it.
I think I know what you're talking about. But there's some, and I'm you know, but we're radio guys. Before mm-hmm. I was on broadcast, I would when I went to games, I had
the radio
in my ear. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know we talked about that, but I don't remember if we ever actually did it or not.
We can. It takes
to send that signal out.
It's not hard. It's really not hard.
We'll work on
that. Well, yeah, we'll talk about it. Again, it might be a VIP situation. So, but you'll still hear the thing is about that. How we can do it is they're going to hear us off. Or during breaks.
Uh-oh.
So that's why I say VIP. So
even people better.
People would know, okay, they're at break, and that's why they're...
Even better.
That's why they're making fun of Kennedy down there. So we would have to really, as far as between you and me and Kennedy, watch what we say during
probably,
the break.
Probably a good thing that this didn't happen 8 years ago.
What happened 8 years ago?
Well, that this wasn't happening then.
Oh.
For the employment status of the guy calling the games at that time.
Yes.
Don't know if that would have worked out well.
No
recording of that, by the way.
But I think there is probably another way around where we can funnel in the audio that everyone else hears. I'm not to play with that. Listen, no offense. That's going to be the last thing on my mind this week.
Right.
I got a lot of stuff to get that ready. I was made aware this weekend that my week's probably going to be pretty
good. So here we go. Friday night.
We'll get it done. We're getting ready for it.
Merritt will start the following Friday. At home against Mangum, isn't that right?
Right, and we got a new voice of the Merritt
Oilers. Yeah, Jess Moore.
Jess Moore.
She'll be your first chance to, that'll be what, September the 3rd, Friday, September
yeah.
the 3rd, Friday before Labor Day.
Nothing going on that Friday. I might head on out there. Check them out.
Oilers and Tigers.
Who again? Tell me.
Mangum,
yeah. Hey, that'll be fun. Mangum's always solid.
Mangum and Merritt.
That'll be fun.
We got the Skinny on Sports podcast, which you'll probably notice a hole in that from Friday. Because
and
I
Thursday. I'm sorry.
To,
I was in such a hurry on Thursday.
I forgot to do what I did.
That's okay.
I didn't record it, so anyway. I never do. I always forget.
Yeah, it really stunk up my weekend. I was trying to find it. On the boat.
Too bad.
Find it.
You probably wouldn't have enjoyed it. I was talking too good about OSU, probably for your taste.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
Anyhow,
in a different conference.
Normally, we have the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, Podomatic. No, it's not Podomatic anymore. iTunes.
No more
KADSAM.com and also our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. All right, Jared, how was your weekend?
It was great. Got away for the weekend. That's why I wasn't here Friday. Went up to Grand Lake. With the guys, with the fellas. So you could probably imagine how I feel right now. Physically, I'm sore because we did some skiing. And it was the first time in 14 years.
We saw a little video on Friday.
And I popped right up. Went a little bit. Got my sea legs under me. Went outside the wake and immediately went down. So I said, let's go again. So I got back up again, and the video you saw, you probably saw me voluntarily let go.
Yes.
I mean, I got tired quick, and I'm still feeling it in my upper body. So that was fun, and again, hang out with some great guys, some old high school buddies, and some of their coworkers.
all of which were lawyers. So there was me, the radio guy, and a bunch of lawyers who they had this lawyer lingo that I was slowly catching on to. But fun guys, fun trip. Nice getaway every once in a while. Last hoorah before we really hit the ground running with our sports. So, yeah, real fun. If you've never been up the Grand Lake, I recommend it. It's a lot of fun. But that's it. I mean, it's just a guy's trip. And that's probably all I can tell you.
What happens at Grand Lake stays at Grand Lake.
What happens at Grand Lake stays off the air.
Yeah.
That was good, guys. We did this trip back in college. And back then, you know, you're early 20s, and you could do that physically. And now it's, oh my goodness, we're not young anymore.
Only the true professionals can continue that.
But we thought we were, and we started off having fun, and then it turned into us just sitting on the back porch, just talking, drinking more water than anything else.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, but it was fun.
All right, so.
So you're the worms.
Oh, man. Okay, so.
You text me because I was inquiring about something. You said, by the way, I got the worms.
So Friday.
I got worms.
Friday after work, I was going to try to mow the yard and then go out to some friend's house and hang out. Or at least get some of it done and what have you.
Yeah.
So I hop on my mower, and I realize that the PTO wouldn't engage.
Oh, that's an issue.
Yeah, so yes. I just parked it.
Were you thinking, here we go again?
Yes, yes. Riding lawnmowers are just the worst. I mean, I'm about to go buy one. If my yard wasn't so gigantic,
yeah.
And I probably need to do this anyway from a physical standpoint.
Just go get a push.
Just go get one and mow it.
Hey,
but
even a self-propelled one will give you. I mean, yeah, you're walking.
But
you're walking.
That would take forever.
Self-propelled isn't that bad. But
yeah, but there's no way I could do it in one night.
No.
It would. I mean, getting off work with the light, you know, they just couldn't do it. Yeah. Anyway, so I did some research online about, okay, what could be the problem here? First one was battery. And so, like, you didn't have enough juice type of thing. That wasn't the problem. So then the next theory was the seat sensor.
Ah, yep.
You know, because if you jump off, yep. It's running, it stops.
Right.
Well, if the seat sensor is either disengaged or bad, it won't let the mower start because it won't kick off when you jump off. Well, guess what? I jumped right off, kept going, thinking, okay, here, this is the problem.
Yeah.
So it's Saturday or mid-morning, too late to go fix it or try it. Well, probably not for some people. It was for me. So it was like, okay, let's call the father-in-law. Drive out, load his up on a trailer, his backup, mow it, and move on. So we get some of that done, get it back to the house. And so when we get there, we notice, well, it's his mower is on the charger, like battery charger. Like, that's probably not good. And then also we knew that one of the tires was flat. So we got it aired up, put some of the goop in it and all that.
Right.
Have it loaded on the trailer, heading back, and I'm following. Kara's was driving the truck, backing it as we got it up there. So she just stayed pulling the trailer and the mower to the house, and I'm following her. And I'm already, as we're going, seeing that the mower is already almost diagonal. Yeah, the tire was going down. So I'm like, okay, well, we've got an air compressor. That's fine. We can just mow a couple laps and air it up and go from there. And so as I'm unloading the lawnmower, getting it off the trailer, it's one of those that tips, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I get off. It comes back to level. Bam. Knocks one of the tongues on the underneath side off. The weld came apart. So we're like, oh, my gosh, now we got to fix a trailer while we're trying to mow. So we get mowing to start. I'm mowing. I'm like, man, what in the world? I thought, if you've ever, this is the only place that I can think of where I've seen this plant. And it's kind of a grass looking, and it's got this black deal on top, but it's at Carson Creek. If you've ever played at Carson Creek and you hit it out in the trees, and it takes you once to try to go get your ball, because when you get back, you've got all these thistles on you.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're black. And I thought, man, when did I grow those? as I'm mowing.
Yeah.
And then I slow down a little bit to look, and I realize, uh-oh, army worms. That's what this is. Oh. They're attached to the tops of the grass.
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere.
Oh, my.
So I call my man Scott Kelly. Like, hey, do I need to mow? Do I need to stop? What do I do here? He's like, man, just mow it. It'll help a little bit because if your grass, like my grass is kind of headed out and needed to mow a couple days ago and didn't. He's like, just mow it down, and then that way that tender new grass they like the best, and it'll help a little bit, and then we'll figure out what to do. He's like, you got Bermuda. It's not like they're going to kill it, like dead. He's like, your yard's going to look terrible for a while, but that's just the way it's going to go. Okay. And there was a spot. I mean, I don't know. Our yard's an acre and a half or whatever it is.
Yeah.
There was like a 30-foot circle where it was discolored already. So anyway, so mow it as far as we can, and then the battery on his mower goes down to where it won't engage.
Good night.
And so the tire is going flat every couple. So we just try to get it back. By this time, he's there, chain up that broken thing to get it back to his house to be able to weld it back on. So we get the trailer fixed. We start to get the mower in position to drive up, and the battery is down so far it won't run.
Ugh.
So we shove it up there. I mean, you want to talk about sore. Like my shoulders and back and like back of my anyway, I'm sore for pushing that thing up on that trailer to get it flip over. So we do that twice, and at different times, you know, you got to put the parking brake on so it doesn't slide off.
Yeah.
Well, there's a couple times where we forgot to disengage that, so you're shoving and shoving and shoving, and obviously it's not going anywhere. And then everybody realizes, wait a minute, put that down. So so we get that done. And I'm kind of watching Saturday night, and I don't see, you know, the worms are kind of, and I know I didn't, like, mow them, because I could still see them on different grass. Anyway, yesterday afternoon, we had some people over after our Sunday school class came over, ate lunch. I'm sitting, laying there on the couch, kind of just watching, looking out the window, kind of seeing, okay, the grass looks exactly the same. It's not like they're, then all of a sudden, I'm going to say, I guess you would call it a flock because it's birds, these black birds.
Yeah. They just go
ascend
after.
Onto my yard.
Hey.
And I'm talking like hundreds.
They're feasting.
And it's like those videos you see, like if you've ever been to Foss Lake when the stripers are hitting the top of the water.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what this looks like. They're
wow.
everywhere. And then all of a sudden they fly off. And I'm like, oh no, this was a great thing. So I go out in the garage, and before I could even get to the door that goes out in the garage, I can hear them.
Oh, wow.
And they're on the side yard, mowing them down there.
Nice.
And I'm like, yes. And then they go to the back. Anyway, they went all around the yard, even got into the dog's pen, and our dog will bark at anything. And there were so many of those birds in the fenced-off part of the backyard. He was cowering. The sound, I mean, it was just like, it was so loud. And he was cowered down by the old grill. It was not going to run them off until they got done. And so, thank you, blackbirds.
Wow.
That is the way you eradicate the army worm.
Wow.
Is for a flock of...
So, instead of laying down granules or spray, you should lay down bird seed
yeah,
in your
yard. I guess so.
Maybe attract the birds.
Because when they first flew down, I was like, man, that'd be cool if they were eating those worms. And then I kind of watched some... I mean, there was all different sizes. And a couple of huge ones. And I started watching the bigger ones, and I'm like... It's what they're doing.
What they're
you can
doing.
See them
That's awesome.
Picking them off and eating them. So, and then even today, I was looking around. I don't see them. So, I mean, there's no way they ate them all.
Well, no, but I'm sure it helped the problem.
But there's
yeah.
no doubt. They started out kind of scattered.
Yeah.
And then they went to the side yard, they went to the backyard. And by the time they got back in the front yard, they had kind of figured this out. And so they almost even knew where they were when they flew off. And they almost got in a line. And just walked east where none of them could get away.
That's awesome.
Oh, it was so cool. You couldn't even.
It's like an army of birds.
It was. Just... And that's what was made it so, in my mind, so ironic. It was like the army of birds were eating the army worms off my grass.
That's funny.
And they just marching down and eating them. So.
Wow. Now that.
I don't know that the problem.
That is one way I did not think of eradicating the army worms.
Well, I certainly didn't think of it either. But.
I love it.
I watched it happen.
That's cool.
It was great. Thank you, Blackbird. So now I'm wondering, yeah. are they just going to come back every day until
yeah,
they're gone?
Yeah, yeah. Now do you have a lot of bird pets just going to hang out at your house now?
There's a bunch of cats, so that'll probably help them out. Not ours, by the way, but there are cats.
Oh, wow.
High school football, as I said, week zero coming up on Friday, Elk City, Pampa, right here at Big Elk Stadium. But, man, there are a ton of games all across the state and all across western Oklahoma. And this seems like one of those phenomenon that has grown over the past couple of years with more and more and more and more teams scheduling this week zero game to be able to take advantage of week three, which was traditionally the last week of non-district games, heading into the district schedule, get that week off, and it's almost like having a bye. It is like having a bye ahead of the district schedule.
I think it's a great idea, and I think more and more coaches and programs are gravitating towards week zero because of that, the bye week. You know, it's a long season for, you know, football's a rough sport. You want that recovery. They love to get those three games in, those three pre-district, non-district games in, get a week off, reevaluate what works, what doesn't work, you know, and get ready for the long district haul, you know, to get a push for those four playoff spots. So I love it. You know, it feels like a treat for the fan and for us because, like, hey, we don't have to wait another week for football. It's here.
Well, and you don't – you know, you obviously the negative would be you lose a second scrimmage.
True.
But if you're going to be – I mean, in my mind – if you're going to be scrimmaging, you might as well be playing a game with the benefit of having that off week ahead of the district schedule. I think it makes a lot of sense, and you get time to, you know, as much as scrimmages are live action against somebody else, there also aren't a game.
No, it
it's
doesn't
not
have
quite
that same,
the same
feel.
Right.
Absolutely, it does not. So it, yeah, if you know, and again, scrimmages don't count, right? And in a coach's eye, I would think they would look at non-district games as, sure, it goes in the win or loss column, but what we really care about are
week
those
four.
District games.
Week four is when it really starts.
Yeah. So if we're going to scrimmage, might as well do it real, and it makes the school some money.
Yeah, and there you go. If you have a home game, yeah, you got a little gate coming in.
Yeah.
There was some scrimmage. I'll tell you what. Since I overtalked last week, we'll talk about what the reports from the scrimmages tomorrow to start. But I want to give you a rundown of some of the games.
Okay.
From around the area coming up on Friday night. Obviously, Elk City and Pampa, we talked about that one here. Altus is at Chickasha. Alva is at Kingfisher. Balco Forgan at Buffalo. Beaver at Turpin. Hollis is going to go to Boise City. Whew. It's a pretty long drive for just the first rattle out of the box.
That is a drive.
Carnegie at Cassidy. Cordell will host Sayre. Corn Bibles at Snyder. Fairview at Hobart. Sealing's going to play Pioneer Pleasantville. Shattuck will host Tipton. Sharon Mutual is at Pond Creek Hunter. And then one for got to kind of keep my eye on, not necessarily the area, but a district game for one of the Elk City's district opponents playing a game against a tough opponent would be Cash hosting El Reno.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
I think that could be a really good game. And there's a bunch of good ones around the state as well. But just, I mean, the one that jumps off the page to me outside of obviously Elk City opening their season, a couple rivalries, Cordell and Sayre, and then one of the used to be, depending on how good the teams were, but a lot of times this was maybe even a rematch of two defending state champions with Shattuck and Tipton.
Oh, that would be real fun.
You know, they played that. It seems like they played that game 4 or 5 years in a row now. And there's been times where it was Class B's champ against Class C's champ.
Yeah.
battling it out. Shattuck's done a pretty good job against Tipton in those matchups since that's occurred, you know, like I said, the last 4 years or so.
Yeah. Yeah. And bravo to those schools who schedule those games, not shine away. It's kind of like the college thing. Like, we like to see these early non conference games that are kicking off the season with the bang. We're getting more and more of those. It's good for the fans. I think it's great for the schools. And it's happening more in the high school level too. You see, you know, you want the cupcakes to get the confidence up, but man, as us as fans, we love to see, you know, hey, we know that team's good. We know that other team's good. Let's play each other.
Absolutely.
Because again, if it's non-district, let's go have fun. Let's, you know, win or loss, it's not really gonna, you know, and then if you're worried about your ranking, there's some people who say, oh, they lost, but they lost to who? Mm-hmm. I'll keep them in my top five. No problem.
No doubt about it. Yeah. So a big slate, though, to me, that and there's tons more of games around the state. I just think that this has become more of a desirable thing for the coaching staffs out there to play that week zero game and to be able to have week three off.
And what's great about that week three off for us is we have that week three off. It allows us to go see another game that we weren't, you know, like I don't know, what's happening week three? I have to go and look at my schedule to see who's playing where. I think Millwood comes to Clinton that week.
Yeah, I think you had said that.
Yeah.
I'll be in Stillwater.
That would be a fun one, too.
I'll be in Stillwater that weekend, so.
A little OSU football?
Nope. Absolutely not.
Golf?
Yep.
That place right there?
Wrestle back the BD Cup from the bad guys.
Awesome. Very good.
Time now for the Barber Dyson Ford Jim Traber segment. Barber Dyson Ford has been your truck headquarters for 27 years in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Congratulated Barber Dyson Ford a couple months ago on receiving those two service awards from the Ford Motor Company. And now joining us, as he does on Mondays, is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you this morning?
I'm good, fellas. How's everything out there in beautiful Western Oklahoma?
It's going good. It's going to be hot this week, and high school football starts on Friday. So all kind of coming together.
Are the Alps going to be any good?
Ought to be pretty decent. We've got 23 seniors, and it's a bunch of guys that have kind of went through it and getting their head kicked in for a couple of years and got better last year. So they ought to be hungry with a loaded squad of seniors this year. So hopefully. I know they put it on Kingfisher pretty good on Friday in a scrimmage, so that's a good sign. Kingfisher's normally pretty decent.
Very good. The Elk City Elks. Very nice.
All right, Jim.
Anyone you ever seen that show, Your Honor?
No. I heard you talking about it last week.
It had a horrible ending. Just a terrible ending. It's driving me crazy. But it's a pretty good show until the end.
That has to be a letdown.
I know.
You invested all that time into it, then the very end is horrible?
I think it was good one season. It was only a one-season show, so that was good. But I don't know. I could have written a better ending. Now that I watch all these shows, I think that I should be like a writer and a producer and a director. I can do anything now. So
what had the worst ending, that show or The Sopranos?
Sopranos was bad. This one, I think this one's worse than The Sopranos.
Oh, wow.
I do. I really do. I think it was really bad. It just, they wanted to make it, like, ironic. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if you're like a film student, you know what I'm saying, or if you're like a little artsy person, you probably thought it was a great ending. But guess what? I'm not. I'm just a big old fat dude sitting on the daggone couch. So I was not very happy with the ending. But now we're watching Fargo. Have you guys seen that one?
I have not seen Fargo.
No, I
saw the movie way back when, but I haven't seen the show.
You guys do have streaming out there in Western Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
Just barely. It cuts out. It gets kind of frustrating.
Oh, man. Anyway, pretty soon I won't be able to watch the shows anymore.
Well, I know I told you, Ted Lasso. I love that show.
Oh, dude, I've already watched all of Ted Lasso.
Oh, you have? Awesome. I need to catch up on season two.
Here's the problem. Yeah, we watched all of season one and then the first three of season two, and then I got to stop because I have to binge. I can't watch it. I can't watch it week to week. I can't do it. So I'm just waiting for the second season to end, and then we'll watch it. But that show, after we got done with Sons of Anarchy, I told Julie, I said, we got to watch something more lighthearted. So we watched Ted Lasso. And it was really good, though. Ted Lasso was really good. It makes me cry, though, man. I literally because it's so nice and stuff.
Yeah, it was a surprise for me because I thought it'd be real silly with the premise of an American football coach going over to Europe to coach soccer. I thought it'd just be real silly, but it has a lot of heart into it. It took me by surprise, too.
It does. It really does. Next, we're going to watch. We haven't watched the season for Alone. Do you guys ever watch that show, Alone?
No. I haven't seen Alone. We watched The Kids Baking Champions. We watched the kids baking championships.
You got to keep in mind, we got young kids in the house. We're kind of married to what they watch. And
young kids. I forgot about young kids. Yeah. Well, that's all right. We have grandbabies, so we follow fire on Nemo for our little grandson. He loves that. He loves to watch.
Yeah,
Nemo.
I can tell.
By
you,
the way, this Alone is great for kids.
Is it?
It's a great show. Yeah. So my son-in-law, he's a film editor and everything. he's worked on this show alone for like 8 seasons. And it's the premise is they put people out in the wilderness, right? But instead of all these other shows, when they say, oh my gosh, if I don't get food, I'm going to die. Well, there's like 10 cameras around them. They're really alone in this show. They're all alone. They teach them how to work their cameras. And they go out and they put like 10 people out. And then they play for like $500,000. Whoever can last the longest. But nobody knows if anybody else is still there or anything. It's the coolest thing. It's a really cool show. It's called Alone.
Yeah, interesting. Our text line is lighting up, talking about how good it is. It's a great show.
Yeah, well, like I said, we watched it because our son-in-law has been on. You know, he does all this work for the show, and then we really have gotten into it. So it's so that's ended now. So now we can binge it. I'm telling you, dude, I can't watch anything week to week anymore.
It's kind of funny now that this is out there and the ability to binge watch all these shows that are over. You wonder how in the world you ever did it before, waiting week to week. Like I remember watching Walter White, Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah. Breaking Bad,
and watching that week to week, and it was just awful all week waiting to see what was going to happen
Sunday night. Yeah, yeah.
And then I binged it, and I'm like, why did I do that? Why did I put myself through that when I could have just binged it?
You didn't want to get spoiled.
I guess.
Yeah.
I would have had no chance watching Breaking Bad week to week, fellas. I would have been useless all week long until the show came back on.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I was on, like, forums.
But the binging, thank goodness we have binging now.
Have you watched Longmire, or was that one of them that people tried to get you to watch?
Julie watched the whole thing.
That was...
Sometimes I have to watch sports and stuff, so she gets into ones by herself. And then I'll, like, sit around sometimes and watch some of it. So I did watch some of Longmire, and it looked like a pretty good show. I wish I probably would have watched it, but I had too much going on. So.
It was good. It was amazing how many murders happened in the middle of Montana or Wyoming or wherever it was. I have a feeling that's not real life anyway.
No. Well, the other one, you guys watch Yellowstone?
No, we tried. My wife and I tried. Couldn't get into it.
Like Yellowstone?
I don't know. I'm horrible. I love Kevin Costner and I love Westerns, and he's married to those type of projects, but I just couldn't get into it.
Oh, man, it is so. You should try again, man. It's literally the mafia and the wild, wild west combined, man.
Wow.
It is great stuff. Great stuff.
It's about to kick back off, isn't it? Season 4?
Yeah. They pushed it back now, I think, to November.
November.
So. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't care when they start. I just care when they end. Whenever they end, then I can watch it.
Pick it up. Yeah.
Well, that'll be about right then. You get November, it'll do, 10 shows or whatever through the winter months?
I'll be
and
ready
then
to go.
Be ready to go after basketball's over.
Yeah.
I can watch them around the Steelers in the playoffs. Oh, I'm sorry.
Maybe.
Big Ben looked good this weekend.
Big Ben did look good. And you've talked about the defense and how good the Steelers are going to be. I wanted to start in the NFL, but kind of an off the field, or it could drag on the field. Yesterday it came out Mike Vrabel had gotten his vaccination. Now he's got COVID. It doesn't look like they've really changed much of the policy. And so with the drive to get these guys vaccinated, I would assumed that, hey, we're not going to test them unless they have symptoms. That's not what's happening. And so with the way that they want to speed the schedule up, this looks to me like not changing the policy for these vaccinated players is going to end up being a total disaster, because everybody's going to get tested again. Everybody's going to, we're going to have guys out. I just don't understand why, if the NFL is going to push and push and push and push for the guys to get vaccinated, why they're going to test people that don't show any symptoms.
Well, it's just not the NFL. Can we go back to talking about, like, binging again?
Took a left turn there.
Every time, this vaccine thing is just beyond belief for me, man. I mean, it's just, nobody can tell you the truth about it, and then people get vaccinated, and then they say, well, you know, it really doesn't stop it, but if you get it, your symptoms won't be as bad. Now they're approving for you to get a booster shot. I mean, guys, I don't understand any of it. I'm tired of all of it. I don't know about y'all, but I know out there in Western Oklahoma, you guys are a lot different than, you know, back here in the, quote, big city, but I'm sick of listening to it all. I don't know what the NFL's doing. I really don't. Didn't they actually say that if you get vaccinated, you won't have to get tested?
I thought so.
And now they've changed their minds, I guess, huh? So I just don't know what the heck's happening, fellas. This whole vaccine thing is crazy to me, and unfortunately this new variant, if you guys probably know this, supposedly there's another variant, I think the Lambda variant, that's going to be supposedly worse than this one. So I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to believe anymore. I think that the NFL is they're going to play. I know that. They're going to put people in the stands, and they're going to play. And if they have too many people, I guess they're going to forfeit. I am glad that college football and pro football are both saying that, aren't you guys? I mean, they're saying that, you know, they're not going to, like, try to reschedule and do these all this. You know, if you don't have enough players, it's sad, but you're going to lose the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's what happened last year, especially in the NFL, having games on Wednesday and then turning around and having to play on a Sunday, that wasn't any good for the product, so you might as well miss one. But on the field, NFL-wise, we talked about it last week, and these young quarterbacks kind of continue to impress. Trey Lance started out really slow last night and then turns around, ends with two touchdown drives. And then a guy that you talked a ton about last week was Mac Jones. It's amazing to me watching him and how comfortable he is. Wilson, who hadn't been there much, he looks completely comfortable. It's just these guys look the part of going to be really, really good players in this league. And it's not just the one of them. It's not just Trevor Lawrence. It's even really the guys behind him that are ones that have impressed the most so far.
Well, what's going to happen is that people are going to, you know, some of these other guys are going to look like they are, and people are starting to get down on Trevor Lawrence. Well, guess what? The team that he plays with stinks, okay? And the offensive line, they can't block. So you just hope that he doesn't get obliterated, kind of like Burrow last year. But, yeah, I mean, some of these young guys, man, gosh. Trey Lance, did you see those two I know he threw an interception, but did you see those touchdowns he threw? Wow. That second one was just a missile in between people. I just think he's going to be tremendous. And, yeah, Mac Jones, man. I mean, he literally – I mean, you swear that you're watching Tom Brady 15 years ago. I mean, he is just – he's really good. I know they Cam Newton's been playing well too, but golly, man. I think that kid has a chance to be a really nice player. You brought up Wilson. I mean, these guys can play. These young kids can play, so – It is amazing to see that the NFL just keeps rolling, you know. It just keeps rolling. And when you get all these big-time quarterbacks, it helps this league. Look at all the young quarterbacks in this league. I mean, they're not going – when you lose Brady and Rodgers and Roethlisberger and all these other older guys, when they go away, they're going to be loaded up again. So that's really, really good for the NFL.
Yeah, we were saying that back in the draft, Aaron. Now we felt like we're seeing a shift – to the next generation of quarterbacks, and I think that's becoming apparent this preseason. Speaking of preseason, Jim, do you take any stock? I think I know the answer to this. I don't even know why I'm asking the question. Do you take any stock into the Ravens and their 19th straight preseason win? Does it even matter? I mean, are they celebrating this in Baltimore?
Well, I doubt they're celebrating it, but they're good. The Ravens are good. I mean, it's not like, you know, guys, the last two teams that have gone without any wins, Detroit and the Cleveland Browns, they both went 4-0 in the preseason, and then they went 0-16.
Yeah.
So I want the Steelers to lose the fourth game, by the way. That would be really nice. I don't want them to go 4-0. But, yeah, I mean, look, the Ravens, they got a tremendous organization. I don't like them at all, but they're really good. So I think it's cool to win all the – you'd rather win than lose, right? I mean, you know, winning – begets winning. That's what, you know, a coach told me a long time ago who used way too big of a word or an impressive word in beget. But, yeah, winning, you got to win, so they win. If you lose, it does. You know what I would say? If you lose a preseason game, it doesn't matter. If you win it, that's good. That's the way I would look at it. And if I'm a coach, that's what I would tell my people. When you lose, okay, after the game, yeah, okay, fellas, you know, this doesn't count, but we got to work on things. You win, hey, it's great to win. That's kind of the way I would handle it.
You were
that's how us Dallas fans react to it.
Oh, yeah, and it's no big deal. We were winning. We were winning before we brought the other guys in.
But we're celebrating Super Bowls if we win preseason games.
I want to see that Super Bowl champion in August. They're the best ever.
You were talking about something Thursday or Friday, and then over the weekend, I think your thoughts were validated 100%, and it was the scholarship limits, kind of raising that 25 number, and that creating more transfers and not less. And I thought when Lincoln Riley was asked about that this weekend, he said exactly what you're talking about, that high school recruiting would almost become a little bit less important, and scouring the transfer portal would be kind of the way that college football would be headed. Well, what are your thoughts on what he had to say about the changing landscape of recruiting high school athletes?
Well, I was going to do a big deal on the radio today, but I'll go ahead and give you guys the first shot at it. I'm telling you right now, fellas, it's a great time to be an OU fan, football fan. I mean, a great time. Obviously, you're already really good. You are getting ready to go to the SEC, which I think is going to be a great thing. You've got this new scholarship deal, which I just think is, well, first of all, it makes the rich get richer, and OU's a rich team. And I think he's right on the money. Here's a question: would you rather take a offensive lineman out of Houston that has never played a college game, or would you rather get a offensive lineman at the University of Indiana who made first team All Big Ten, after his sophomore year? I mean, that's the truth of the matter. And I agree with them. And then now, gee, many Christmas, here's what's going to happen at the Oklahomas of the world. After football season, Oklahoma's going to have like four people that are going to transfer, all right? And those four people are going to be guys that aren't playing, the guys that can't play, that because there's other guys at their position that are really good. And now Oklahoma will take those four and whatever else they have left over under the 85, and they'll go out and get whatever they need all over the country. I mean, and it's, this year they got the three kids from Tennessee and the kid from the Woods kid from Arkansas. I mean, whatever they need. So in reality, think about this, guys. Oklahoma will probably never have a bad position group. It will be almost impossible for them to have a bad position. Oh, your offensive line didn't play well? Go out and get four offensive linemen. Oh, the defensive backs aren't very good, or maybe it's not as you'd like? Go get three or four defensive backs. I mean, this makes it so teams like Oklahoma will never go back down. I mean, unless they get, unless Lincoln Riley leaves and they bring John Blake back to you. I mean, he passed away. I apologize. John was a good guy, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Bringing in a coach, and that's not going to happen either. So it's just the big boys here are never going down again. They're not. They're never going down with the rules the way they are. And, Curtis last night on TV said, well, all the rules except the scholarship rule originally are always for the big boys. And he's right. But now I just think it's going even overboard. I mean, can you imagine what OU's doing in this portal? People are all upset that they've lost all these wide receivers that they were going to recruit. Just go find a big-time wide receiver at Colorado or Wyoming or something like that. So it's crazy. The rules are just perfect for a team like Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley. So I agree with Lincoln 100%.
Did you catch what Nick Saban said during a presser? What was that, yesterday, Saturday?
No, what did he say?
Well, he was asked about a tight end and his progression. And he basically gave the best coach speech. It's Nick Saban. He's the only one, I think, in the country who could say it, saying the guy has to work. He has to understand. He has to put the time in. He has to work. We got guys watching him all the time. And if you don't come to practice and you want to put in the work, I mean, in my mind, I thought he's the only coach right now in 2021 that can say that and to other top-end players. And the Morning Animal, those guys, they evaluated it perfectly, saying that now that tight end is probably going to be an All-American because of what Saban said. You have to go look it up. It's going viral, from what I understand.
And guess what? If he doesn't change his ways and work harder, then he'll go get a kid in the portal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? It's like Joe Castiglione, fellas, when he talked about 11 a.m. kickoffs, right?
Yeah.
When you're around and you're powerful and you've done a great job at your job, you can say things that other people can't say. And I do like what Saban's. I'll have to listen to this part, but I really love Saban about the fact that he will be more honest, you know, than other people. But they just raised his salary. What's it going to be?
Like 9.4, 9.3 or something? Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess when you make that much money, I think you can just say whatever you want to say. So, but yeah, that's good stuff. I mean, look, I don't totally agree with the fact that he's going to automatically be an All-American, but it's certainly going to bring the best out in him. You know, I mean, look, the days of getting on to people are gone now, and that's the way I grew up. You know, I grew up with people like ripping you. I don't care if you were the best player or the worst player, and that should be good stuff. Nowadays, I just say, and publicly, gee, many Christmas, you can't say anything about somebody.
Exactly.
So that's good. That's good that he said something about it.
On the field in the Big 12 this year, maybe the last year of what we know of the Big 12, at least currently. What do you expect in the first year under Steve Sarkisian from the Texas Longhorns?
Gosh, man, that's an unbelievable question. I don't know what to expect. I mean, obviously he's a good football coach. Hopefully he's got his demons behind him. The whole key is going to be quarterback. I mean, you can ask me about any team in the country, I can say the same words. The whole key is going to be quarterback. They're talking about they don't know who the quarterback is, but unfortunately, from what I understand from talking to somebody in the area, the reason why is because neither one of them has really stepped up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a deal where both of them are playing great. You know, it's a deal of neither one of them has really gotten after it in the fall practice. So, I mean, they're talented. Obviously, they're talented. My guess is that they'll probably rip off about an 8-4 or 9-3. I mean, they might have a chance to possibly get to the Big 12 championship. They're not going. I mean, they might beat OU. You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who's the best team in that. But I don't know. I think they're fighting for second place in the league would be my guess. I'm so sick and tired of talking about Texas and if whether they're going to be good or not. It's just like your Cowboys. We make fun of it, but it's the same thing.
Right.
Everybody says how good they're going to be, and they're never that good. So I'm not going to talk about them anymore. As far as you know, I think they're going to be good. They got a really good running back. We'll see if they can block for them. They go to Arkansas. That'll be an interesting game. You know, Arkansas is not a great team, but on the road, that'll be a tough victory. So we'll see. We're going to find out how good they are in the first couple weeks.
Yeah, so I think they got Louisiana there in week one, yeah. And they beat Iowa State last year. Speaking of Iowa State, there's it seemed like over the blast the since the Big 12 title game came back, and even the couple years before that, you know, Oklahoma's won the conference, and it's always been somebody kind of came out of the pack. Maybe last year expected Iowa State a little bit, but before that, you know, OSU in 16, TCU in 17, Texas in 18, Baylor in 19. It's been somebody different every year. Who do you think is going to be that team that's kind of below what you, at least going into the season, that Oklahoma and then Iowa State are? Who out of that pack, who do you think has the chance to really kind of jump up and challenge those top two for that spot in that Big 12 title game?
I don't want to be a homer, but I think it could be Oklahoma State.
I do too.
They're really every position on both sides of the ball, they're pretty daggone good. It's all up to the quarterback. You know, I mean, I think they're deep at running back. I think they're good at wide receiver. Their offensive line's better than it's been. On defense, we know they're good. They got just about everybody coming back. So, I mean, if Spencer Sanders plays well, they got a chance, guys. They really do. They got to beat Texas. And then I think their game with Iowa State will be a massive game if they want to try to figure out a way to get into that Big 12 championship game. So, yeah, I think it's Oklahoma State. Now, if the winner of OSU and Texas, it could be Texas if they win. But I'll be really surprised if the game is not Iowa State and OU again. I really will. Because I think OU is a step ahead of Iowa State, and I think Iowa State's a step ahead of everybody else. Doesn't mean you can't beat them. OSU beat them last year, right?
Yeah, 2 years in a row.
2 years, yeah.
Yeah, 2 years in a row. So you can beat them, but Oklahoma State has to be consistent. And that quarterback, man, he's got to play the way he can play all the time. You can't You can't go up and down. You go up and down, you lose games you shouldn't lose.
And see, that I was thinking on the way, the reason I asked that question is, I think you can make the argument that Spencer Sanders is the most important player in the entire Big 12 for his team to reach the level that they want to.
I think that's a solid argument. I really do. You know, I don't know how good West Virginia is going to be. And Baylor, I think that Baylor, I don't know why Baylor won't play that quarterback that we saw in the Big 12 championship game. I don't know what's wrong with the kid. Seems like he was really good in that game. But, yeah, there's a bunch of quarterbacks that need to play well in the country, and Spencer Sanders is right at the top of the list. And I don't think you're crazy to say he might be the most important guy in the entire league. Because boy, we've seen some really good things from him, but we've seen some bad things too. So I hate to put a lot of pressure on him, but that's it. You know what? You play quarterback because of the pressure. That's what it's all about. Everybody's looking at you. You get the ball every daggone play. So. Hey, there's pressure. Go out and get after it.
Yeah, I'm with Aaron. It seems so cliche to say, but that's I feel like that's what the season depends on is how he plays. The Cowboys are going to be really good if Sanders takes care of the football, number one, and just produces, or they could be mediocre if he keeps turning the ball over. So I'm right there with you guys.
Absolutely, fellas. By the way, I'm just watching Big Ben on the TV right now.
last question, and it's there's a lot of excitement around OU, and you talked about all the advantages moving forward, but then also this year. In your mind, what is the kind of the average season? Is it just making the playoff? Is it winning a game and getting into the national title game? Kind of what is one of those what for them to have, say, a good season, not a great one?
Well, I think, first of all, they're going to be favored in every game by a lot. So my deal is you can't lose more than one game.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as moving on that, you got to win the Big 12 championship. Look, okay, anything less than winning the Big 12 to me is a big disappointment. Winning a game in the Final Four would be really good. If they lose in the Final Four, it'll be a little bit of a disappointment. It won't be a massive disappointment, but you can't. I mean, to get to the Final Four is really impressive. But you'd like to see them win a game. You know, you'd like to see. I mean, they can't win one there, so if they could do it, that would be really good for them. So that's how I would say it. I would say this is. Big 12 championship or bust.
Right.
You know, and that means if you win the Big 12 championship and you only have one loss or zero losses, then you're probably 99% chance going to get into the Final Four and then win a game there, you know? That's the key. Win a game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's just one of those a step that has to be taken, and with the advantage of having the quarterback back, which a lot of the top dogs don't. It's something that OU needs to take advantage of with the better defense and all that. Well, Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Have a great show coming up at 2 o'clock.
All right, fellas, thanks.
You betcha. That's the ultimate Jim Traber joining us on a Barber Dyson Ford Jim Traber Monday. Hey, look at there. It's time to go.
Wow. Always flies by when he's on with us.
It really does. It feels like we've talked for about 10 minutes, and we look down, I'm like, whoa.
It's awesome.
We're going to have to go. Thanks again for Barber Dyson Ford. Barber Dyson Jim Traber segment. We'll be back tomorrow. Get into more of the scrimmages from the high school games. Look forward to a week zero kickoff to the high school football season. Everybody have a great Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.